go with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, two of the disciples had been dispatched by the Lord Jesus Christ, sent out of Jerusalem to prepare a Passover for Jesus and his disciples in the upper room. And this upper room happened to be one of Jesus' friends. When I looked at that, I was thinking, you know, I wonder how many friends Jesus had. All of us have friends. All of us have someone that we can call or someone we can be encouraged by, or we can encourage them. I was thinking, I was coming to the church tonight, and I thought, man, I haven't talked to Rudy Smith all week. Rudy and I pretty much at least once or twice a week, I send him a funny picture, or he sends me a funny picture. Or I call him up, and we giggle and laugh a little bit and wonder how things are going, but it's nice to have a friend. And you know, there's some friends. I have some friends you don't even know who my friends are. And you have some friends that maybe it's a good thing I don't know who they are. But anyway, all of us have friends. And the Lord said, hey, I want you to go up such and such, and you get that room ready. We're going to celebrate the Passover there. And when that notable Wednesday night, evening came, Jesus and his disciples arrived to the upper room. It was ready. And there Jesus first washed the feet of his disciples. All the thing that Jesus Christ did all the time he was with them, he was always teaching them, always teaching them, always teaching them. I told one of my grandkids, I said, Adam, I said, you know, Papa's always teaching you. You know that, don't you? He said, I know, Papa. He said, I like that. He said, I'm always teaching them, always telling them things. You want to watch out for this. You want to do this. You want to do that. You want to do this. You want to do that. And my dad used to do that with me. And he'd tell me not to do certain things, and remember your name. Remember your name is Shear, and you don't want to, you know, your granddad, great-granddad had a great name, and, you know, your daddy's got a great name. Don't mess that thing up now, boy. And teaching them things. And I think of the friend that Jesus Christ had, and he said, hey, go down. So they went and came there, and what did Jesus do? He washed their feet. That had to be the most humbling experience of all, because Peter says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. That's interesting. All the rest of them didn't fuss about it, but Peter said, Lord, you're not right washing my feet. Peter always spoke his mind, didn't he? I like people to speak their mind. I really do. I like people to just speak their mind and get it over with, and instead of going around telling everybody else about it. I like to speak their mind to say, okay, what's going on? And then we can work on it. And some things you can't work on. There's a lot more things you can't work on. But old Peter says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if you ain't going to let me wash your feet, I don't think Jesus said you ain't. Jesus said, if you won't let me wash your feet, you have no part of this ministry. Peter said, Lord, give me a bath. Really what he said. So the Passover was celebrated, and many important words were spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the interlude of Judas the traitor left the room. When the Passover was finished, Jesus instituted what they call the Lord's Supper, and our text is chosen from those words used by Jesus at that time. And chapter 22 and verse 19, the Bible says, and he took bread and gave thanks and break it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in what? Remembrance of me. And so the Lord's Supper has to do especially with his suffering. The Lord's Supper has to do with his death, the why he's going to die. The Lord's Supper has to do with Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with anybody else. And the Lord wants to know that. He wants us to know that. And you remember what Jesus Christ, when God said, when Jesus was baptized, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then he said to the few disciples, he said, hear ye him. Hear ye him. Don't worry about anybody else. You hear my Son. And so let's stand and read God's Word tonight. We're going to start there in chapter 22, and we're going to read that. Now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew nigh. This is chapter 22, verse 1, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. You know, isn't that an incredible thing? These are people who are supposed to be the most religious people in the world. They have the Word of God, yet they want to murder him. It blows my mind. I just can't understand it. Then entered Satan, there's your problem right there, into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He went his way and communed with the high priest and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. Why would religious people do that? And he promised and sought opportunity to betray them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of the unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us a Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when you enter into the city, there should be a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water." That was a very uncommon thing, because men did not carry water. You don't understand that, right? It was a sign. "Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready." And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this, and divide among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God has come." And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, "The cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But before the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth, as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, "The kings of Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greater among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief to be as he that doth serve. For whither is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth it? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on throne, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that ye may be sift you as, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that they that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thence deny that thou knowest me. And he that said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and that he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Don't you let the guys in our church read that, all right? They think that's when you go out and buy a gun. Amen. Yeah, I do it. For I say unto you that this is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the thing concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. So I just want you to know that, fellows, that two are enough. All right. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to our hearts and help us to catch a hold of this vision that God has given us tonight, this wisdom of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, Jesus Christ wanted to know, wanted these disciples to know that he was the center figure. He was the center figure of all this. It was all about him. I think that a lot of times we forget that. The Lord, the church and the Christianity and all the things that have to do with this universe is about God. Our failure to that is that we start thinking we're a little bit better than everybody else. We start thinking that we don't have to wash the feet. We just think that we have to, we get to sit and be fed and somebody serve us. You know, God said the happiest man in the world is a servant. The man that gives, the man that serves, the man that shows his love, the man that forgives, he's the happiest man in the world. I will tell you, I've met so many people that are unwilling to forgive. They are the most miserable people in this world. They always seem like they're always wound tight. Seem like they're always looking for trouble. They always seem like that they can always find it, by the way. You look for trouble, you always find it, amen. But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We are sure that Jesus Christ preferred especially the suffering of his death. So the suffering Savior, we are to remember when we take the Lord's Supper, we are to remember his suffering. And the reason he suffered is because of my sins. Because of your sins. We have a long and dark list of sins of nature. We have inherited sins. And we are sinners by guilt and by corruption. We have sinned, hasn't been imputed upon us because of God's righteousness. And we have got sin because of birth. The Bible says, in sin did my mother conceive me. It's not talking about her and daddy coming together to have a baby. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that it's passed upon all men. We are gened with sin from Adam and Eve on. And that gene is what kills us. We're going to die someday. We don't like to talk about death. We don't like the thought of someone that, like our dear friend Jill, that has cancer, and it could be very detrimental to her health. We don't like that. We don't like to see when people have Alzheimer's. We don't like to see when people have heart problems and lung problems and blood problems. It grieves us because we know. When we look at that, we know that, sure enough, those could be one of the places we're going to go. One of the things that's going to take us down. And we think, all of us here tonight, think we're going to live forever. And by the way, you are. But not on this earth. To the point on a man wants to die and then the judgment. But there's not a day that I don't get up that I don't think I'm going to make it through the next day, man. I prepare. I've got scheduled to 2018, 2019, things going on in 2020. We set these things up. We're looking forward to it, but, you know, one of these days, the old black cat may run in front of us, amen. One of these days, something just might get us. It's an amazing thing how strong our body is, but it's an amazing thing how a little thing that you can't even see will kill you. And so we must understand that because of sin, Jesus Christ had to pay this price for us. And thank God he did, because you know what? We will live forever. For those who call upon the name of the Lord and have been saved, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, I have a home prepared for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Someone asked a question. The preacher says, hey, when I die, where am I going to be? And the preacher says, I don't know. But if you ask Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll be with Jesus. Because he said, where I am, there you be also. Well, what about this? What about this? I don't know. I'm going to be with Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, that's where I'm going to be when I die. To me, that's a rejoicing fact. That's a praise the Lord. That's a, like Brother Rudy would say, hallelujah. That's a great thought. That where I am, there you will be also. That's God's promise to us. And to all of us who realize that it is appointed on man to die, we have a rejoice, we have a thought, we have something to look forward to. Well, there are a number of, we have numerous actual sins which proceed from our corruption, too many to enumerate, and also many shameless varieties that we have sinned. And I was telling the Lord last night, I said, Lord, why do I keep remembering some of that stupid stuff? I said, I'd just like to get it out of my brain. That's why we push so hard for our children to live godly lives and keep them from the junk that some of us have had to go through, or some of us have seen. It permeates our mind. And when I was telling that to the Lord, I was reminded when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus bent over and wrote and said, He that was without sin, let him cast the first stone. Who left first? The old guys. So the older we get, the more stuff we accumulate on us. Amen? And let us be so careful that we help our children to live for God and teach them scriptures and teach them the wiles of Satan. I tell you what, if you just read them the Proverbs, tell them how to be very careful about people, the ladies that would try to take advantage of them. And also read Proverbs, and ladies, remember how important it is that you keep yourself chaste. Keep yourself in check, amen. Read, of course, last week was 1 through 7 of Proverbs, and 5 and 6, pretty strong about that, amen. John Newton said, when he was 80 years old, he said, sir, my memory is about gone. My memory is about gone. But there are two things that I'll never forget. One, I am a great sinner. And Jesus is a great Savior. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. You say, preacher, you say that practically every sermon. Amen. I wish you'd get it. Amen. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I was thinking about that last night, I said, there it is. He said he'll cleanse us. I love that song. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. Unfortunately, we all have a human brain that does not delete. I got a thing going on my computer. I don't know what's going on, but I keep trying to delete it, and it won't go away. Boy, it makes me mad. I mean, I'm pushing a button. I mean, I've dented my mouse. I've about squeezed its guts out, amen. You get rid of it. And that's really what we are, aren't we? The brain is a wonderful thing, but it probably is. It's things that we can't get rid of. My cousin is a brilliant young man. He is the financial officer of New York City, chief financial officer. And he has a photogenic memory. What he sees, he always remembers. No question. It's just there. My mother had that. Most incredible thing. And he said to me one day, he said, you know, there are certain things I will not read. He said, I won't read fiction. Because when I read fiction, it almost becomes true. One man said, if you watch something, or like a TV program, if you watch it three times, all of a sudden your brain tries to tell you you were there. That's why I act like Mickey Mouse once in a while, amen. So, and you can't, and your brain does not decipher once you watch it three times. So you girls that are watching Fantasia or whatever that is, no wonder you run around acting like little princes, amen, whatever. Now all our sins, I'll get this now, now all our sins have been laid upon Jesus Christ. On Him as our substitute. God laid all our sins on Him. Jesus willingly shouldered those sins, and now because of this burden of our sins on His shoulders, He had to suffer. He had to go to the cross. Not because of what He did. He was perfect. He was without spot, without blemish. Many times I'll pray, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm just a mortal. I just can't understand why a perfect God like You would take my sins and die for me. You didn't do anything wrong. And He reminds me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now because of this burden is on His shoulder, Jesus had to suffer. Remember why Jesus suffered. He suffered the wrath of God. Throughout His life, the wrath of God for our sins rested upon Him. That is why He came to this earth to be the Savior of mankind. But towards the end, Jesus' suffering became very intense. Then the terrible vials of God's wrath were poured out on the agony of His own soul, and He sweat blood. Before Caiaphas, where He was rejected as the Son of God, before Pilate, where He was condemned as the King of the Jews, on Calvary, where He was forsaken of all, remember what Jesus suffered. Remember for what purpose He suffered. The purpose, if you're taking notes, the purpose of redemption, to redeem us. Jesus suffered all this in order that He might redeem us from our sins. First, our sins were laid on His shoulders. He paid the penalty for them. Then His righteousness was imputed to us, and we received the forgiveness of sins. That's incredible. I mean, it's hard for me to even try to elaborate on that. It's so hard for me to try to explain that to you. I don't think you can explain that. How can we explain that a perfect God takes our penalty and pays for it, and His righteousness was imputed, financial term, which means He just went and paid it. He imputed it. Took care of it. And the bank could not question it. And moreover, what is the amazing thing? This is what should get you so excited, is we become heirs of eternal life. Oh yeah, we'll die physically, but we will not die spiritually. We will be absent from this body. We'll be present with the Lord. Where are we going to be? With the Lord. Well, where? With the Lord. I don't have an answer. I don't know if it's, well, the Bible talks about up north. I don't know if that's heaven straight north of here. I don't know. It seems like it. He gets there in a twinkle of an eye. I don't understand it. Well, where are you going to be when I die? I'm going to be with Jesus. Where Jesus is, that's where I'm going to be. Why? Because he said, where I am, there ye may be also. I'm happy with that. I'm really happy with it. I'm glad I'm going to be with Jesus. Because I tell you what, where Jesus is, there's always food. Where Jesus is, there's always sunshine. Where Jesus is, there's always love. Where Jesus is, there's always forgiveness. Where Jesus is, there is always companionship. So what's the problem? Where are you going to be? I'm going to be with Jesus. As a result of his sacrifice, Christ merited sonship to us. We're his sons and daughters. Wow. We have the sonship of God. I don't know about you, but I have three boys, and we have eight grandsons and four granddaughters. And I'm telling you, if one of them wants something, they're getting it. Now, I'm not into this thing when my grandson, hey, Papa, when you die, can I have this? I'm not into that, okay? Don't look at me like that. They say it. I'm not kidding you. It's like the little boy said, hey, Daddy, Granddaddy, will you sound like a frog? He said, what do you mean sound like a frog? Yeah. He said, what do you mean sound like a frog? He said, well, my mom and dad said, when you croak, we're going to Disney World. I love it. You know, it'd be a good idea to give it to them while you're still living. Just give it to them. I had a grandkid the other day, blew the transmission out of his truck. Hey, Papa. I said, what? He said, can I borrow your truck? I said, yeah, you can buy it. You always borrow my truck. You got the keys for it. Well, I thought I'd better ask you. I said, what happened? He said, I blew the transmission out of my truck coming home from skiing. And I said, you ain't buying my truck. No, I didn't. I haven't seen the truck for two weeks. You say, aren't you afraid? No, he's my grandkid. Don't you do that with your kids? I still think that I still have a few rifles someplace, and shotguns someplace, but they're not in my safe anymore. And I know they didn't get stolen because I know, hey, why don't you use this? And I guess they just took over ownership. What is 9 points of law? Possession. But think. Will you think? I know that's very silly stuff, but can you think of the God in heaven that says, you're my daughter. You're my son. Do you think if you're his daughter, his son, he's going to do anything bad to you? He can do everything he can to help you and encourage you. You say, what if they're bad? Well, some of my grandkids are bad. My problem is I was bad too, and so I think back and I have mercy. Don't look at me like that. Some of you are rascals. Especially those sitting in the back seat there. Amen. As a result of his sacrifice, Christ merited sonship to us. We were made children of God. And consequently, which is a bling bling, all right, heirs. Do you think God has any money? He paves his streets of gold with gold. One man was about to die and he asked God. He said, God, I know I'm not supposed to bring anything to heaven. Don't need anything to heaven. But I want to bring something to heaven. God said, you don't need to bring anything to heaven. Oh, yeah, Lord, I want to bring something to heaven. He says, all right. And so he died. And he came to heaven. and he had a satchel in his hand. And Peter says, "What do you got in there?" He says, "Never mind." He says, "God said I could bring it." He says, "What do you need up here? You don't need nothing. It's the most magnificent place. It is so beautiful. What do you got?" He said, "I ain't telling you." "Why not?" "Because God said I could bring it." He said, Can I just have a peek?" The guy opened up and he said, "What are you bringing pavement up here for?" "Yeah. What are you bringing gold? God makes the streets of the purest gold. The scientists say that if you purify gold to its perfect form, it is transparent. You can see through it." That's incredible. "We are redeemed unto everlasting life in the presence of God." I want you to remember for what purpose Jesus suffered. You. He suffered for you. So, why shouldn't I give him my best? Why shouldn't I live for him the way he wants me to live? Why shouldn't I read his love letter to me every day? Why shouldn't I speak to him every day? Why shouldn't I be so excited that I'm going to heaven someday? Talked to Brother John. He said, "It was your uncle that passed away. Your uncle was your pastor at one time." And I said to John, I said, "Thank God for heaven." You know, and he said some of the family was so glad that he didn't have to suffer anymore. I have no problem with heaven. Bless God. I'm ready to go right now. I know I got some things to do around here, but I'm ready to go. Man, to think. No more troubles. No more heartaches. No more sleepless nights. No more wringing the hands. No more tears. No more problems to solve. No more heartaches to have. Heaven. It's a wonderful place. Good. Now, I was thinking, I probably shouldn't say this. No, I'm not going to say it. But anyway, I think sometimes we just get so afraid of heaven. I was at a hospice once, and this lady, I forget how old she is, I think she's like 98, and her family says, "Oh, pray for Grandma." And she got so mad at him, he said, "Would you shut up? I want to go home. I have more family up there. What good am I here to you folks? Let me go home." And finally the family said, "Well, my Grandma, you just go right ahead." And boy, she was gone. Brother Williams used to say, more people pray for Grandma that wants to go to heaven than pray for people to get saved so they can go to heaven. We waste a lot of time on praying and begging God. Now, I did read this last week. It says, "Lord, let me keep living," David wrote. He said, "because there's no praise in the grave. There's no glorifying your name in the grave." So he was trying to stay alive. That's what he was trying to do. Amen. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. We love you. We thank you for all you've given to us. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your suffering for us. This is all about you. But you did it all for us. And we thank you for it. Lord, now be with us now, Lord, as we have this time of the Lord's Supper. What a blessed time it is. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and you say, "Preacher, I am not saved. I am not sure if I died the day that I'd go to heaven. And all the things that Jesus Christ did for me, how can I do less than give him my best? How can I not accept him as my personal Savior?" So if you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I promise you, I will not embarrass you. I will not do that. But I sure like to pray for you. Are you saved? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you know for sure if you died today, you'd go there? He said, "Preacher, I really am not." "Well, my friend, I'd sure like to talk to you. It's a very important thing that you would know Jesus as your Savior." You hear tonight and say, "Preacher, there's some things that I keep forgetting how great God is and has done so much for me. Preacher, would you pray for me?" Yes. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts and help us, Lord God, to understand how important it is to know that you love us and you care for us and you have done everything you could so that we could go to heaven. Lord, it's up to us. It's up to our responsibility now. So, Lord God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the deacons if they come tonight. We have